Hebrews 11, 24 through 29 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do or drown." Now you and I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been in church. Probably everybody in here knows the name of Moses. I can go around the room today and everybody in here, even from the most eldest to even the very youngest, can probably tell me something that they know of the man named Moses. No doubt he was used by God in a marvelous way. He is accredited for writing the first five books of the Bible. It was Moses that received the law from God. It was also that same man that God gave the instructions of building the tabernacle and all the articles of furniture, the priestly garments, and the required sacrifices that God was going to require. He gave all that to that man, Moses. What a man the man of Moses was. What a man. If you go, if you jump on an airplane, you fly to Israel today, there's people that still elevate the man Moses, and sadly to say, they elevate him higher than anybody else. But you know, he was just a man, but he was used of God, no doubt in that. But what was it about Moses that made him who he was? We obviously can say that it was God. We can obviously say that the Lord used him. But this morning, I want to look back in the life of Moses, and I think we'll find a hidden hero. A hidden hero in the life of Moses. But I'll say this morning, it wasn't his best friend. It wasn't someone of great stature. It wasn't someone found with a great amount of wealth. Who was it? It was his mother. It was his mother. Now, just as much as I could go around the room and ask, tell me something about Moses, no doubt you'd have something, you could probably have something to say. Now, I could walk around this room and I could ask you, what was her name? So many of y'all may be able to tell me. But if I had to guess, there's probably one or two that don't even know her name. Why? Because it's only mentioned twice in the Bible. Her name is only mentioned twice in all the Word of God. But what an impact this mother had. So this morning I want to preach a message titled, Jochebed, a Hidden Hero. We all have heroes. We all have heroes. I have heroes in the faith. One of mine went home to be with the Lord this past week. You and I both can look around and we can think of people that that just really have influenced our life and made us who, let me change that. Not made us who we are, because we know that's the Lord, but God used certain people in our life to influence us. We all have heroes. I'm not saying you find those heroes by turning on Captain America or you turn on a movie and let Hollywood tell you who a hero. No, I'm talking about the hero. A real hero is someone that maybe their name is not even known, but they have a great influence in your life. And they forever change your life because they let the Lord use them. This morning, I'm going to pick up here in chapter 2. I want to read verse 1 through 10. And we're going to talk about this hidden hero that we don't hear a whole lot about, named Jochebed, Moses' mother. I'm going to ask you if you can, you will, and you're able, if you'd stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word this morning. The Bible says here in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could, no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me. I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Y'all may be seated. So this morning, as I talk about a hidden hero, I want y'all to imagine. We all have them. We all know that 1, 2, 3, 4 individuals that just seem to be a hero in our life. And we all, when we think about that individual, we think about the influence they had on our life. And we may remember that individual for what they've done for us, how the Lord used them. But here in what we read this morning, no doubt was this individual used. What did this individual do? It was just his mother. I'm going to tell you, there's something about a mother this morning. There's something about a mother, and I'm thankful my mother's here today. My father's on in glory, and I long for the day I get to meet him again in glory. But this morning I'm thankful that my mother is still here with me today. And I know, I say that this morning, and many of y'all's mother is on in glory. She may not be here. She's just waiting for you to get up there. So this morning, as I talk about this hidden hero and what this individual, how this individual is used by God, don't you think about your hero this morning. So I'm going to give you 3 simple things that I've seen here in this portion of text, and I want to talk about it, and I don't desire to keep y'all real long this morning. Verse 2. It says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son." So we see that this lady got pregnant. Now we know that we read our Bibles and we know that our children are the heritage unto the Lord. It's a blessing to have children. Now I know some that maybe not able to have children. Maybe they've had children through adoption or foster care. And you know what? I still say you're still a mother. At that. Now, you may not be a biological, but that's fine. But she conceived and bare a son. Now, if we would have backed up in chapter 1, we would see that Pharaoh commanded that these midwives, as they seen these children being born, if it was a male child, they was to be killed. They was to be murdered. They was to be put to their death. Now, if they were female, they were able to live, as far as Pharaoh is concerned. But so she conceived, she bare a son. And I wonder what run through her mind. "Oh no, I got a son. I wanted a son. But I don't know if I can keep my son." It says, "And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months." I want you to see a hidden or private faith. It's a hidden or private faith to begin with here in verse 2. Notice that it says that when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. Jochebed looked at her baby that would become Moses, and she's seen something about him that maybe no one else would have seen. I told you a second ago, the kings commanded that the midwives kill all the male children and only keep the females alive, because he didn't want a chance of the Hebrew nation getting so large and growing up and overcome the Egyptian people. It says that she took her boy and hid him 3 months. I imagine during those 3 months, when he would cry, his mother would run to the aid as quickly as she could, so nobody would hear that baby cry. She hid him 3 months. Now, was she scared of what was waiting? We'll see here in just a few moments as we dig down in this. But I want you to notice how the Word of God words it. It says, and when she saw him, that he was a what child? A goodly child. The word goodly in this context means pleasant, desirable, or efficient. Now, I didn't read this in Hebrews, but verse 23 of chapter 11 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. It says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The writer in Hebrews called him a proper child. Proper means beautiful or handsome. Have you ever been told you was a proper child? Brother Jimmy, you've been told that? Well, let me ask this question. Has anybody ever heard of a mother looking down at their child and saying something like this? You sure are the ugliest baby I've ever seen. No, we've never heard that. What was different about Moses? Said this. Beautiful. A beautiful or a handsome child. Megan loves kids. She always has. And ours have been growing up and they're catching that same love for kids that she's got. But I have her sister has two small children. One is two or three, Elliot. He's two, and Emmett is just a few months old. And when they come over to the house, oh, she's starstruck. She is starstruck. She's holding, it used to be just Elliot. Elliot's two now, and he's wild as a buck. But I would hear all the time, you're just the beautifulest thing. You're just so cute. Oh, I love you. And every once in a while, I'd hear, you're just perfect. And when you hear all them things, I can't help but think, she's talking about me. So when she says that, before she ever gets a chance saying, I say, thank you. I appreciate you acknowledging. I wasn't even trying. She'll look at me. I wasn't talking to you. I try claiming it anyways, but. So what was it that his mother seen? I mean, it was her child. Of course she would think he's a proper child. Hebrews 11:23 that I just read ends in this statement. It says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Jochebed, his mother, was not easily swayed. She knew what she believed, and it didn't matter what she was up against. The king's commandment did not scare her. Why? Because she knew her God could and would take care of them. She knew it. There was no question. Number one, I want you to see that she had a private faith. One that was prevalent in her home. Secondly, I want you to see a trusted faith. Verse 3, the Bible says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, some you may be thinking, what is a bulrush? A bulrush is an Egyptian-type plant. It's a kind of a reed, and Jochebed, she took some bulrushes. She took of this plant and she possibly wove it together and possibly made like a basket type design. We don't know exactly what it was, but we do know that it was strong enough to hold this 3-month-old child, or at least 3 months. So the Bible says she hid him 3 months. She's no longer to hide him. Bible then says that she took slime and pitch, and pitch was a tar-like substance that they would rub on the outside, and it would be like a water repellent and would allow the ark of bulrush to float in the water. Just like if we was to go back to the to Noah and the ark, he put pitch on the inside outside. He sealed the water off. So she rubbed it all on the outside, and like I said, it would keep it afloat. It says then she went and she placed it in the water. She placed the child therein. It says that she placed it in the flags by the river's brink. And what's that telling us? That she placed it right there at the edge of the water, right there where the weeds were. And you know, I can't help but wonder what was going through the mind of Jochebed. I tell you, there's something about a mother's love. See, when your child goes astray and they rebel, there's just something about a mother's love that cannot be broken. No matter what that child does, that mother's love don't cease. And this morning I say, no matter where you're at this morning, the Father's love don't cease either. I don't care where you've come from, what you've did, what you've been in, the thoughts that run across your mind this morning, last night. I don't care. I'm telling you that we serve a God that loves you. But looking at Jochebed this morning, just imagine what was going through the woman's mind, what was going through the mother's mind as she laid her baby in this ark. I wonder if, as she was watching it, possibly floating away, or rocking there in the water, I wonder if she thought, I sure hope it don't leak. I sure hope I got it covered well enough it don't take on any water. Is there going to be a fish, or is there going to be something to pop up in the water beside it and disturb it and rock it and roll it over? I wonder if that baby's going to be spared. I wonder if that baby's going to live. Will that baby see another sunrise? Will that baby be here any longer? I'll place it here in the water. If Pharaoh's daughter finds it, will she just have the baby killed anyways? No doubt. Now, I know you've heard before, faith is the opposite of fear. And I do believe that in order to have faith, it does expel fear. But let's be quite honest this morning. You may have faith, but it don't always make it easy. You know, I believe she trusted that God would take care of the situation, but she being human didn't understand how God was going to take care of the situation. While we may not know exactly what was going through her mind, what we do know is that she told his sister to follow, to keep an eye on it. And we believe that was Miriam. So it implies that the mother, or Jochebed, did not. She said, I want you to look after it, you follow. And we see that his sister followed and kept an eye on the baby Moses, or this child. I wonder, what did Jochebed do? Did she go back home? Did she have the strength to make it home? Or did she just fall flat on her face and beg God to spare the life of her child? I don't know what was going through her mind. But what we do know is that his sister followed that child along until Pharaoh's daughter found him. I told y'all I didn't plan on being long. Point three. Number one, we see is a private faith. Number two, we see a trusted faith. It's a faith that had to be tried. And last of all, I want y'all to see a rewarded faith. I hear of people going through things and facing things, and I have said myself, boy, I sure hope if I have to face something like they just faced, I hope my faith will be unwavering like theirs. But you know how it gets there? It's got to be tried. It's got to be put in the fire. Well, I'm telling you, nobody likes the fire. Nobody likes the heat. Nobody likes the trials. But the only way you're going to grow, the only way your faith is going to sprout and become strong is to be put in the fire. I don't know what's going through her mind. What I do know is her child was at least 3 months old, and her child's floating away. There's a parting between mother and child here. Her not knowing the future. Now, I believe she had faith. She trusted God, but she didn't know how God was going to work it out. Well, I tell you, sometimes when we go through some trials, we don't know how. We trust, God, I know you're going to work it out. But we just don't know how. We just have no idea. I want you to see that because her faith was, she had a trusted faith. Even though she couldn't see, she trusted the Lord was going to work it out. Verses 6 through 9, I want to see there was a rewarded faith. The Bible says, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children and his sister. And there, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go to thee, a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. By faith, Jochebed, she hid the child. By faith, she made an ark of bulrushes. By faith, she covered it in slime and pitch. By faith, she placed that vessel in the water. By faith, she then put her child in that vessel. By faith, she then closed the lid. And by faith, she let go of that ark of bulrushes. She didn't know what was going to happen to her child. She didn't know if she was ever going to see him again. But by faith, she trusted the Lord was going to take care of him. And because of her faith, the Lord not only took care of the child, but he took care of Jochebed as well. I want you to notice the series of events. Notice the series. We cannot overlook. It just happened to float right by Pharaoh's daughter. It just happened to be in a place where Pharaoh's daughter could see it. When did she let that vessel go? Before Pharaoh's daughter come down. She didn't say, oh, there she is. Let's go ahead and let her go. No. She put the ark of bulrushes in the water and let it go. Then Pharaoh's daughter come down. She just happened to see it. When she seen it, she just happened to have a desire to go see what it was. She just happened to open it up. And then the child then happened to cry. She just so happened to have compassion on it. She just so happened to agree with the young Hebrew girl about getting a Hebrew woman to raise the child. And it just so happens that the child that was floating in the ark of the bulrushes was raised by her own mother. It just so happened. No, my friend, nothing about this just happens. Nothing. I don't believe in chance or luck. Why? Because there's no room for chance or luck with a sovereign God. What are you saying? God is always in control. Jochebed seen what was coming? Jochebed had no idea. But she put her faith and she trusted the one who did know what was coming, who was in control. I believe in the sovereignty of God. Now hold on. Not much left here, but I want y'all to see something here that y'all may have already seen, but I looked over many times. Not only is Jochebed going to raise her own child, but look in verse 9. Midway through it says, take this child and nurse it for me. She's going to raise her own child. What a blessing. Oh, but the blessings of God don't stop there. Pharaoh's daughter tells her, "And I will give thee thy wages." Oh boy. Not only is her baby going to live, not only is she going to be the one to raise her child, but she's going to get paid to raise her own kid. How many in here love to get paid to raise your own kid? Nobody. Okay. You had me. That's all the payment. Moving on. What are you saying this morning? God rewards faithful servants. When there is absolutely no possible way, that's when our God steps on the scene and He makes a way. When you just don't see, you can't see into the future, God's already there. Just trust in God. That baby should have been murdered with no questions asked. But because she fully relied on the Lord, her baby didn't die. Her baby's every financial need was met. She was able to raise her baby to trust and fear the Lord as well. Boy, I know that no doubt y'all have been there too, but I remember raising just my two. There'd be times where, boy, you don't know how you're going to buy any more diapers. You don't know how you're going to buy any more formula, any milk. Forget them getting sick and having to go to the doctor. How are you going to pay for that? Jochebed didn't have to worry about any of it. But you must notice, she had to have faith in the Lord before the Lord ever met any of those needs. When did the Lord decide that He was going to do that? Before the foundations of the world was laid. He knew that He was going to do it. When is God going to meet our needs in our life? He might be waiting on you to trust Him. Oh, it's easy for you to say, "You ain't in my storm." Oh, I know. I may not be in a storm today, but I know when that storm gets here, the same one that got me out of that last one will get me through this one and through the next one that comes. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You may not receive your rewards when you think you should, but if you remain faithful to the Lord, it will come. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I've been praying the Lord to do this. Sometimes our rewards don't come in the way that we expect them to. Why? Because we don't even know what the next 5 minutes holds. We might have a plan, but we have no idea. And in closing this morning, as she comes to the piano, I want you to be reminded there was a private faith. It was one that was good enough for her own home. Boy, there come a time in Jochebed's life that she had to rely on her faith. Her faith had to be tried, and she had to trust her faith. But because she trusted her faith, because she trusted the one in who it was laid in and who it was in, her faith became a rewarded faith. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'll say, if you're not a child of God, it's what we're talking about, faith. You can't even please the Lord if you don't have it. But as I was talking to a brother before the beginning of the service, salvation is so easy, but we make it so difficult. How do you know it's easy? If it wasn't, I'd be lost today. I'd be on my way to hell today. Oh, so you're saying you're better than me? Absolutely not. If there's anybody in this room that deserves hell the most, it'd have to be me. I'm thankful that God would save my soul. Just as the song that was sung yesterday, God saves old sinners. You know when He saved them? He saved them yesterday. He saved them years ago. He saved them way back here in the Old Testament by faith. You know what He does today? He still saves old sinners. Oh, you don't know where I've come from. You don't know what I... That's the beauty of it. You have no idea what my past holds. You don't have to know. And I don't have to know your past. God knows all of your past. And He wants to save you from it. Because your past, if you've not been saved, is going to lead to an eternity in hell. One of two places we will reside. I've got my whole life ahead of me. Everybody in the obituaries thought so too. A couple months ago, I did a homegoing service for a young lady, 28 years old. Had her whole life ahead of her, just to find her being cast out into eternity, years before she ever expected it. Wife, if you would stand to your feet, I know it's been different. Today is Mother's Day. I say this morning, if your mother's still alive, go see her. Go spend time with her. Hug her neck. Tell her you love her. Why? Because there's coming a day that you won't be able to. I'm not being boastful that my mom's still here. I'm thankful that my mom's still here. Many of y'all, I can look around and I can see the broken hearts of being Mother's Day. And your mom's already in glory. I don't know what that's like. I've had individuals tell me, when I've told them, the Bible tells us in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. I've had people tell me, you don't know what kind of daddy or mama that I have. You don't know what my mother's put me through. You don't know the pain and the agony that I face because of my mother. No, I don't. But God didn't say honor your mother if she's worth honoring. The Bible says honor your mother. The Lord commands us to honor our mother. Commands us to honor our father. Even if you don't think you have one worth honor, you honor her anyways. Why? Because we're commanded to do so. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this has been different. I wonder if there's anybody around anywhere. I'm going to cut right to the chase. I don't know. I don't know that if I was to die today, that heaven would be my home. I do not know that if I was, if something was to happen to me, I started feeling, my arms started going numb. I went to the hospital and come to find out I got something going on and I was to find myself being cast out into eternity. I don't know that heaven will be my home. Is there anybody anywhere? Just lift that hand long enough. Just pray for me. I don't know that heaven will be my home, but what I do know is I do not want to go to hell. Anybody anywhere, I just want to pray for you. I'm not coming to you. How about you, Christian? Have you been living a life that's pleasing to the Lord? Not just in honoring your parents, but have you been living a life that's pleasing to your heavenly Father? I sure hope so. But if it's not, you are here today. And God's gave you another day to make it right. And if you've had something going between you and your mother, God's granted you another day to go make it right. Father, I thank you for being a faithful God, a faithful Father, even when a child like me is unfaithful. I'm thankful, dear Lord, that you not only overlook my faults and failures, but I'm thankful, dear Lord, that if I come to you and ask you to forgive me, if I come to you in a true repentance, dear Lord, and ask you to forgive me of the sins, Father, you'll forget them and cast them as far as the east is from the west. Father, I thank you this morning, dear Lord, for mothers, the love that mothers have for children. I pray today, dear Lord, I truly don't know the need of hearts this morning. Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in every heart, every life, and every soul this morning. Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to not only honor our mother, but honor you as well. Father, I'll thank you and I'll praise you for everything that you are doing and have been doing. And everything I ask in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.